Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Stuck in Between. Here's Sylvia Cash with our scripture reading.
This reading of our scripture is from the Common English Bible. Whoever is faithful with little is also faithful with much. And the one who is dishonest with little is also dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No household servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My little neighbor, Ray, really wants a dog for her birthday. She's turning 6 at the end of August, and she really believes that this is the time for her to get that puppy. She has asked her parents, and they have responded the way that many of us do when our children come asking for a new pet. Ray, you already have a hamster. I know, but I want a puppy too. Ray, I can't take care of another living thing. Well, I'll do it, Mommy. I'll take care of it. I want it that bad. Ray, you don't even take care of your hamster. How are you going to take care of a dog? I'll do it, Mom. I promise. I'll do it. I'll take care of them both. Y'all know how these things go, don't you? Well, my little neighbor, Ray, was persistent enough in her requests for a puppy that about a month ago, she and her parents agreed that if she took care of Fluffball, that's the hamster's name, if she took care of Fluffball all by herself, feeding him every night, making sure that the water container was full and the cage was clean, if she could do it all by herself every night without getting a puppy. Now, I was over there a couple of nights ago, and I asked Ray how things were going with Fluffball. She assured me that everything was still on track. She got up from the sofa we were sitting on and went to the kitchen, opened the refrigerator door, grabbed the bag of organic broccoli and the bag of organic carrots from Whole Foods Always, broke them into small pieces, and proceeded to carry them over and feed Fluffball. This is her nightly routine. 7 o'clock on the dot is dinner time. That is when Ray gets up, feeds, waters, and makes sure that Fluffball's cage is clean. Ray is a girl who knows what she wants. She is on a mission. She's focused, and she's going to do everything she can to make sure she gets that puppy. I can remember times in my own childhood when I worked really hard for things like this. Times when I knew exactly what I wanted, and I would just go after it, organizing everything in my life around that one goal, making sure that it would come to pass. Have you ever wanted something like that? Have you ever wanted something badly enough to organize the rest of your life around it? If Ray's life were a song, if each day were a different verse, this nightly resolve, the nightly routine to feed and to care for Fluffball all by herself, this would be the refrain. The refrain, of course, being that small line or melody that's repeated throughout, often stuck right in between the verses, reminding the musician, the composer, and the listener alike of the underlying or overarching theme that connects each verse to the next. The refrain often tells you what the song is actually about. So if Ray's life were a song, this routine, this nightly habit of going to the refrigerator, grabbing the broccoli and the carrots, feeding the hamster, this would be her refrain, telling the world of her greatest desire. Ray wants a dog. What do you want? Now, really, what do you want? If you aren't sure how to answer the question, then maybe we should look at it backwards. Maybe we should take a moment to think about our own routines and rituals and rhythms. What are our life's refrains? What are the important things that we devote our time and energy and resources to? What gets first priority when we organize our calendar? What do we spend our days thinking and dreaming about? What snatches up the first chunks of that budget? What do we want? Scholars have long agreed that the main plot of Luke's gospel is the journey of Jesus. Jesus' journey through Galilee, and on that journey, Jesus shows us what he wants, what God wants. Similar to other epic tales, Luke tells the story of Jesus' journey from Nazareth all the way to Jerusalem, and every event, even the smallest interactions on the road, marks an important lesson, an opportunity for growth and an expanded understanding of God's love breaking forth in this world. Gospel were a song. Alan Jackson's Remember When, which of course tells the story of life from cradle to grave, right? The verses tell the story of the important moments, the significant things, the beautiful things that happen and shape. And it also begs a question. Will you remember? Have you been present enough when the important things happened? Did you or do you appreciate them for the right reasons? Was your heart in the right place, or were you caught up chasing after things that were less important? Remember when is a refrain, and it is a call, and it is a question. Will you remember? When we read the Gospels in small chunks, one story, one verse, one episode at a time, there's a lot we can learn for sure, but sometimes we miss out on the bigger picture. Sometimes when we read the Gospels one chunk, one verse, if you will, at a time, we bypass the refrains and we miss the beauty of the song as a whole. We miss the lessons, the small things that are tucked away in the sequence and the structure and the melody. And if we're not careful, we miss the overarching point, the very clear and simple refrain that anchors the whole narrative in the first place. So if Luke's gospel were a song, if it were a ballad about Jesus' life from cradle to grave, from Nazareth to Jerusalem, the central point, the main theme, the purpose of Jesus' mission and message could be summarized like this. If you want to know about the kingdom of God, and if you happen to have money or power or privilege or possessions, guess what? You got to give them away. This perspective, of course, is apparent throughout the text. It's there in all the verses, in all the stories, but it is stated most simply in those tiny refrains. Yes, you can see it in the beginning from the Magnificat, which insists that powers be brought low. You can see it in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, in which he says, "Blessed are you who are poor, and woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are hungry now, and woe to you who are well fed." From the reading of the Isaiah scroll proclaiming release and liberation to the very text we read today, Jesus' message, according to Luke, is all about the social, the economic, and dare I even say, the political. They're all wound up together. Each verse sheds light on a different expression of the meaning, but the little refrain that's stuck right there in between the stories help us to remember the main theme. If you have resources, you got to give them away. You can't serve two masters. And of course, much like the song, Remember When, the call is also a question. Who or what will you serve? You know, the funny thing about refrains is that they're often the only part of the song that any of us remember. This is really obvious if you've ever been to a karaoke bar and suffered through someone's slurry recollection of the verses, only to have them belt out with utmost confidence the words of the refrain. And if that's not your scene, then maybe you can recall for yourself the words from The Temptations, My Girl. Anybody know that refrain? Or what about ABBA's Dancing Queen? Or what about Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe? I'll never forget that after one summer at youth camp. But can you sing the words by heart to the verses? Maybe Jesus knew that we would never be able to remember every word of the story, every word to every verse, and so maybe Jesus decided to give us a refrain, to stick it right there in between some stories, to sum it all up and tie it together. Or maybe it was Luke who made this decision. Maybe it was Luke who decided it was important that these stories flow like verses of a song, connected and strung together by a memorable refrain, one that tells us what the answer is and at the same time begs the question. No one can serve two masters. Whoever is faithful in little is faithful in much. You can't serve both God and money, so which one will it be? You know, one of my favorite things about this particular refrain is that it's stuck in between two parables. Maybe later today you can go home and read the whole chapter. But even as it's stuck in between two parables, this little refrain, it feels awfully dualistic to me. And it's one of those rare either-or situations. You know, I think Jesus tends to be kind of a both-and kind of guy, and the parables often show us that nature. But stuck in between two parables that cause us to question, that cause us to wonder and examine, is the short little refrain that's very clear. So when Jesus says it has to be one or the other, when Jesus says here, you can't have it both ways, he's got my attention. And going back to read the first parable more closely, maybe you haven't read it in preparation for church today, what comes before today's little section of Luke's gospel is a parable about a money manager. And if you go back to read it, if you're like me, it won't really clarify anything for you because this manager is rewarded for his dishonesty. He bends the rules and changes the financial ledger in order to forgive the debts that people owe to his master. And the text says he does it to make friends with the poor and take care of himself in case he's fired. And then looking at the parable, which is on the other end of this little refrain, it's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You may be a little more familiar with that one. If we go back to read that, it still doesn't provide any more clarity because in the text, we're not even sure that the rich man knew Lazarus was outside the gate until it was too late. Isn't it possible that his wealth blinded him, protected him, built a wall up between him and the poor who sat just on the other side? Couldn't it be that he just didn't know? So which master did they serve? Was it God? Was it self? Was it money? Or was it something else altogether? What did they really want? What refrain were they singing with their life song? And how can their refrains possibly help us know what to do with ours? Unless maybe this Lucan refrain is both a call and a question. And maybe it's even an invitation for us to remember, to commit the words to our hearts, to remember it and to learn so that we might, in repeating this refrain, change and become the kind of person that God created us to be. In a book called You Are What You Love, James K.A. Smith writes that human beings are creatures who are driven by our core loves. And there are many loves, Smith says, both sacred and secular. And these loves, they motivate us, they anchor us, they shape us and mold us into the person we are becoming. And many Christians, we like to think that our love of God is primary. We like to think that it's the only love that we have. But if we look at our lives, if we look at the refrains that we repeat day after day, they often tell a different story. There is the love of money, which calls us to live our lives in pursuit of all kinds of gain and financial security. There is also the love of power, which feeds our ambition and helps us feel untouchable. There's the love of prestige, which assures that we will be valued and admired. And there is the love of privilege, which allows us comfort and stability. And friends, I need to tell you, this is not a complete list of loves. So what do you love? You know, because our whole world is set up to empower and reward those kinds of loves that made up the list I just shared. And because whether we like it or not, we have to live in this world. We participate in these routines, in these refrains and rhythms, time and time again. We hear the refrains, and we're invited to sing along, to join in these secular refrains, refrains that tell us that we are only as good as our professional success, that we're only worth that number which shows up on our paychecks or in our bank accounts, refrains that call us only to serve ourselves, refrains that push us to protect only our own personal freedoms, and refrains that encourage us to store up resources, resources for ourselves, just in case the whole world descends into chaos, that we might be prepared. These are the melodies, the lyrics, and the songs that the world is singing all around us, and these are the refrains that shape our minds and our hearts and even our souls if we let them. But is that what we really want? Is that what we really love? Or is there another song, another love, another refrain that we can hear and sing along, a refrain that will teach us and grow us and expand our hearts in the love of God and love of neighbor? According to Luke and according to Jesus, there is another song, and it goes like this. Whoever is faithful with little is faithful with much. Whoever is honest with little is honest with much. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Y'all, I'm really excited for my little neighbor. I'm excited for Ray. I'm counting down to her birthday. I'm excited for her and with her because I really think she's going to get that dog. She knows what she wants. And she's singing her refrain every single night. She sings it as she goes to the fridge and grabs the broccoli and the carrots. She sings it as she feeds Fluffball and cares for him and refills the water and cleans the cage. Each night as she sings that sweet refrain with her life, she grows up a little bit more. She becomes more responsible and attuned to what it means to care for and love another living creature. Through this nightly ritual, she is becoming the caregiver that she wants to be for the dog that isn't even hers yet, but she loves it nonetheless. Who do we love? When we love something, or when we love someone, even someone we don't yet fully know, we are changed by that love. And we become responsible for it, and to it, and with it. This is what Ray is experiencing as she tunes her life and tunes her love toward that thing which she ultimately wants. Her life is already being woven together with another living thing as she practices her care for it, as she discovers how to take responsibility for it, how to orient her whole life in service of it. And we too know something of this love because we have experienced it. We have been shaped by it in our closest relationships, in our friendships and marriages, partnerships and parenting and caregiving, in service of others. We have loved and we have been loved. We are learning the refrain. Each expression and experience of this love, of course, bears witness to the greatest love, which is the love of God, the love that God has for all of creation. Maybe creation, in a sense, is God's song. And if so, maybe love is the refrain. This refrain of love, perhaps, is both a calling and a question. And most importantly, it's an invitation. So what do we love? Is it God, or is it something else? If it is indeed God whom we love, then that love will change us, and its song will become our life's refrain. Love will be the thing that holds every verse of our lives together, because when we love God, we are changed, and our hearts can't help but sing the song of generosity and selflessness. Our daily rituals and routines and refrains become acts of giving away rather than acts of storing up. This is the very meaning of discipleship. To participate in the work of Christ, following Jesus from beginning to end, from Nazareth to Jerusalem, from cradle to grave, as love calls us to responsibility for and into relationship with one another. And once we discover that, the choice between God and wealth, God and power, and God and privilege, God and possessions, God and any other master that this world wants us to serve, well, the choice becomes as simple as the refrain. No woman or man can serve two masters. So what do we want? Who will we serve? And who will we love? Amen.